could this evening for a short while, and with the Lord's help and the Lord's enabling, if we could turn back to that portion of scripture that we read in the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 11. The book of Deuteronomy and chapter 11, and if we read again at verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 10. For the land that you are entering to take possession of, it's not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven. A land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And particularly the words there in verse 12. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. What is your only comfort in life and in death? What is your only comfort in life and in death? That's the first question that the Heidelberg Catechism asks. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And the Heidelberg Catechism, it's a catechism that was compiled in 1563 in order to express the Reformed doctrines of the Christian faith. And it expresses these doctrines in a form of questions and answers, just like our shorter catechism that I'm sure many of us grew up with. But the Heidelberg Catechism, it not only has questions and answers, all these questions and answers, they're all sent out in a series of 52 Lord's Days, in order that some of the questions, they would be considered on each Lord's Day throughout the year. In fact, many of the Dutch Reformed churches, they still use the Heidelberg Catechism, and they preach through the series of the 52 Lord's Days each and every year. But the first question which is asked on the first Lord's Day of a new year is, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And you know, what better question to be asked on the first Lord's Day of a new year than this question? What is your only comfort in life and in death? My friend, on the first Lord's Day of a new year, this is the most important question you could be asked. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Who are you trusting with your life? And who are you trusting in with your death? And the Heidelberg Catechism, it gives this beautiful answer, which is the testimony of everyone who's trusting in Jesus Christ for their salvation. They're trusting in Jesus with their life and with their death. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, I'm not my own, but belong unto my faithful Saviour Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not even a hair can fall from my head. Yea, and all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. And you know, don't you just love that? Because as we stand on the threshold of a new year, and as we come together to worship on the first Lord's Day of this new year, what better comfort is there in life and in death than to be reminded that we're purchased by Jesus Christ, we're protected by our Heavenly Father, and we have all the promises of the Bible given to us and assured to us by the Holy Spirit. And you know, it ought to be the greatest comfort to us. Because the reality is, we just don't know what this year will hold for any of us. Of course, some approach a new year with excitement and enthusiasm, and rightly so, as they look at 2020 and they're thinking about the prospect of maybe living in a new house, or enjoying the blessing of a newborn baby, or getting married, or beginning a new job. These great and exciting things. But you know, for others, as they contemplate 2020, they know that what's before them is the continued reality of old age and infirmity, or the progression and deterioration of an illness, or even another year just missing a loved one. Friends, needless to say, bringing in the new year is happy for some, but it's heartbreaking for others. But as we come to the beginning of a new year and the first Lord's Day of a new year, you know, I'm reminded of the Lord's promise to his people in this passage. That in this coming year, we're told, the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And what better comfort to have as we go into a new year? And that was the word of comfort that Moses gave to the Israelites as they stood on the threshold of a new chapter in their lives. In fact, the word of comfort that Moses gave to them was threefold. Because in these verses, we're reminded that there was possession of the land, there was the promise of the Lord, and there's the path of life. The word of comfort was threefold: the possession of the land, the promise of the Lord, and the path of life. So the possession of the land, that's the first thing we see. The first word of comfort that Moses gives, the possession of the land. He says, for the land that you're entering to take possession of, it's not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven. A land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. You know, when we come to the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites, they're all gathered together on the banks of the River Jordan. 40 years have now passed since they were delivered from bondage and slavery in Egypt, and their 40 years of wandering through the wilderness has now come to its conclusion as they stand on the border of the Promised Land. And as they gather together, there's 2.5 million of them. 2.5 million Israelites gathering on the banks of the River Jordan, and they're on the threshold of a new beginning. They're on the verge of a new chapter and a new start in their lives. Slavery in Egypt and wandering through the wilderness, it's now behind them. That's all behind them. That's all in the past. But now the Promised Land is right in front of them. All that stands between the Israelites and the Promised Land is the River Jordan. But of course, the Promised Land before them, it was unknown. It was uncharted territory to the Israelites. They didn't know what would be ahead of them as they crossed over into the Promised Land. And so, as all of the Lord's people stand on the threshold of this new beginning, they gather together to listen to Moses, the man of God. Because the Lord has commanded Moses, he's commanded Moses to gather all the Israelites together and remind them of all the blessings that they had received from the Lord in the past. Moses was to remind the congregation of the Israelites of all that they'd been through and all that they'd been taught and how the Lord had remained faithful to them throughout their wilderness wanderings. And in many ways, that's what the entire book of Deuteronomy is about. It's Moses' sermon to the Israelites, where he reminds them of the Lord's faithfulness towards them in the past and the assurance of the promises that the Lord will continue to be faithful as they move forward into the future. And as you can imagine, this was a poignant moment for the Israelites, because their past was, well, their past had been filled with sin, sickness, suffering, and sorrow. And as they set their face towards this new beginning in the Promised Land, their future was unknown to them. It was all unknown to them, but they sought to move forward and cling to the promise that the Lord who was with them in the past was the Lord who would still be with them as they moved forward into their future. And you know, my friend, we can cling to the same promise today. Because despite all the changes that take place in our circumstances and our situations, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, you know, despite all the changes, the Lord's promises remain the same for us. They are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And like the Israelites, you might look back to the year that has just gone by, or even the decade that has now ended. And when you look back, maybe you can see sins, you can see sorrows, you can see sicknesses, you can see sufferings. All these things in the past, when you look back, you see heartache and hurt. And yet, despite all that you've been through, and all that's changed, maybe in your family and your circumstances and even with your own health, you know that the Lord has been faithful. Despite all the changes, you know that the Lord's promises have remained true. And He has made His presence known to you and given His grace to you to help in your time of need. And today, as you stand on the threshold of another year, you know that the Lord who was faithful to you in the past will continue to remain faithful to you in the future. He hasn't changed. His promises towards you haven't changed. This is the wonderful thing about our great God, that He's still assuring to us His great and precious promises from His word. The promises that where He says to us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Promises where He says to us, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you." Promises where He says 365 times in the Bible, "Fear not." One for every day of the year. "Fear not, fear not, fear not." Promises where He says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Promises where He assures us time and time again of His faithfulness towards us and His love towards us. You know, my friend, do you know the promises of God's word for yourself? As you come to worship on the first Lord's Day in the new year, are you clinging to the promises of God's word? Are you standing, as you stand on the threshold of 2020, are you listening to what God is saying to you and reminding you that He's still there? Because, you know, it was in the knowledge of God's promises and the assurance of His faithfulness that the Israelites were then enabled to move forward and possess the promised land. And even though what lay before them was unknown and it was uncharted territory, they knew that it was promised to them. It was the promised land. And it was called the promised land, not just because it was promised to the Israelites 40 years earlier as they left Egypt. It was the promised land because it had been promised to them 700 years earlier, when the promise was given to Abraham. You'll remember that the Lord made a promise to Abraham way back in Genesis 12. And in that covenant, the Lord promised Abraham, "To your offspring, I will give this land." And throughout the passing generations, as one generation passed away and another came, the generations of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel and their years of bondage and slavery in Egypt, and then even the years of wandering through the wilderness. Through it all, through all the experiences of sin, sickness, suffering and sorrow, the Lord remained faithful to His covenant promise. And now as they're standing, 2.5 million of them, standing on the banks of the River Jordan, they now realize that this covenant promise is unfolding before them. And it's all within reach. The Israelites, they knew that possession of the land was now in their grasp. And they know that as they go forward into the unknown to possess this land that's flowing with milk and honey, they know that they don't go forward in their own strength. No, they go forward standing on this promise, the promises of God. They move forward standing on the promises of God. And my friend, that's how we ought to move forward into this new year. We have to go forward standing on the promises of God. Is that not how it's put? Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. How? Standing on the promises of God. My friend, how are you standing today? How are you standing? Are you moving forward into this new year just standing on your own strength? Well, if you are, you're wasting your time, because you're not going to stand at all. You need to move forward into 2020 standing on the promises of God, because the promise of the Lord is that it's from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. All his promises are there for you from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. That's what I want us to see secondly. As Moses gives his word of comfort to the people, he speaks of the possession of the land just in front of them. But he also speaks secondly of the promise of the Lord. The promise of the Lord. He says in verse 11, "The land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven. A land that the eyes of the Lord your God, a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year." You know, as the Israelites stood on the banks of the River Jordan, as they stood listening to Moses' sermon, his comforting sermon, Moses, he not only assured the Israelites that they would go over to possess this land that was promised to them. Moses also assured the Israelites that as they went forward into the unknown, the eyes of the Lord would be upon them. The eyes of the Lord would be watching over them, just like a shepherd watching over his sheep. My friend, Moses, the servant of God, assured the congregation before him that the Lord's presence would go with them and remain with them, just like a shepherd with his sheep, and it would be from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And you know, it's a wonderful promise that as the Israelites looked ahead, they had the promise of the Lord that from the beginning of the year right over to the end of the year, the Lord would be with them and the Lord would be watching over them. And that's the promise of the Good Shepherd, isn't it? That he's always with his flock and he's always watching over his flock. Is that not what Jesus said? "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish," says Jesus. Why? Because they will never be plucked out of my hand. That's the promise of the Good Shepherd, that he's always with his flock and he's always watching over his flock from the beginning of the year right through to the end of the year. And you know, that's the promise of the Lord that we were singing of in Psalm 23. That the Lord our shepherd will lead his flock. He'll lead his flock, as we were singing, into green pastures and even beside still waters. And that's what Moses was reminding the children of Israel. He was reminding them that the shepherd of Israel would be with his flock and watch over his flock as they moved forward into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. That the Lord would be with them as they went to the green pastures and beside the still waters. And he would be with them, watching over them from the beginning of the year right through to the end of the year. But you know what? Psalm 23 also reminds us that even though the Lord our shepherd promises to be with us and watch over us from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be okay. It doesn't mean that we're going to be immune from sins and sicknesses and sufferings and sorrows. My friend, it doesn't mean that we're going to avoid facing the valley of the shadow of death. But it does mean that from the beginning of the year, from the beginning of 2020 to the end of 2020, even if we're faced with sins and sicknesses and sufferings and sorrows, even if we have to be confronted by the valley of the shadow of death, we have the promise of the Lord our shepherd that he will be with his flock and watching over his flock every step of the way. You know, what better comfort to have than that? To know that the shepherd is there every waking moment and every time you close your eyes at night. The shepherd is there. And you know, is that not what the well-known poem about God's faithfulness reminds us? I think even this poem is in your minister's bathroom. It says, "God has not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love." My friend, the promise of the Lord our Shepherd is that from the beginning of the year right through to the end of this year, he will be with his flock and he will watch over his flock. But the question for you, my friend, is, are you part of the flock? Are you part of this great flock? Do you know the Lord as your shepherd? Can you say, as we were saying earlier on, the Lord is my shepherd? Are you part of this flock? Or are you still outside the fold? Are you still a lost sheep that's wandering aimlessly through life? Still seeking after the broken cisterns of this world? My friend, on the threshold of a new year, are you standing on the shepherd's promises? And are you assured of the shepherd's presence? Because, as we all know only too well, a lot can change in our situations and our circumstances from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. How many people do you know who were with you at the beginning of 2019 and are now no longer with us at the beginning of 2020? My friend, it's an awful thing to wander aimlessly through life without the Lord as your shepherd. And as I've been reminded in the past few days, that death is no respecter of persons. It's no respecter of age, circumstance, plans, or situations. On Friday, I had to bury someone who was 37. Yesterday, someone who was 57. My friend, we need this shepherd. And to stand on the threshold of a new year without the Lord as your shepherd, the reality is you have no safety, you have no security, you have no certainty. Because when everything else is stripped from you, you have nothing left. We came into this world with nothing, we will leave with nothing. What you need to make sure that you're clinging to is the Lord as your shepherd. You need to make sure that you have the promise and the presence of this good shepherd all the days of your life. And you know, it was on the beginning of a new year that J.C. Ryle, he's my favourite commentator, J.C. Ryle, he reminded his congregation, he preached a sermon to his congregation on the first Lord's Day of the new year, and he told them to be ready for the coming year. And Ryle said, it's a solemn thing to part company with the old year. It's still a more solemn thing to begin a new one. It's like entering a dark passage, we know not what we may meet before the end. All before us is uncertain. We know not what a day may bring forth, much less what may happen in a year. And then he asks, congregation, are you ready? Are you ready for sickness? Because you can't always expect to be well. Are you ready for affliction? Because troubles and annoyances and anxieties may surround you on every side. Are you ready for bereavements? No doubt there are those in this world that you love, he says, but they are only mortal, and any one of them may die this year. Before December, you may feel terribly alone. Then Ryle asks, are you ready for death? It must come someday. It might come this year. You can't live forever. This very year might be your last. These are solemn questions, says Ryle. They ought to make you examine yourself. They ought to make you think, because it would be a terrible thing to be taken by surprise, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Are you ready? He says. Make ready without delay, says Ryan. For all things are ready on God's part for your salvation. The Father is ready to receive you. The Lord Jesus is ready to wash your sins away. The Holy Spirit is ready to renew you and sanctify you. The angels are ready to rejoice over you. And the saints are ready to hold out their right hand to you. My friend, are you ready? Are you ready? Because a lot can happen from the beginning of a year to the end of a year. And the only way to be ready, the only way to be ready is to know the promises and the presence of the Lord our Shepherd by walking in the path of life. The only way to be ready is to know the promises and the presence of the Lord our Shepherd by walking in the path of life. And that's what I want us to consider lastly and briefly. That on the threshold of a new beginning, there's this word of comfort from the lips of Moses. He speaks of the possession of the land, the promise of the Lord, and then he speaks about the path of life. The path of life. Look at verse 11 again. The land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven. A land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season. You will indeed, he says, obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. You know, as the Israelites stood on the threshold of this new beginning, and as they listened to Moses' sermon, they knew that possession of the land, it was within grasp. They also now knew of the promise of the Lord, that the Lord would be their shepherd who would watch over them and be with them as they moved forward into the unknown promised land. But what, you know, what's key to the Israelites' relationship with the Lord as their shepherd was that they walked in the path of life. What was key to their relationship was that they walked in the path of life. But in order to walk in the path of life, the Israelites, they were to love the Lord as their shepherd. They were to confess the Lord as their shepherd. They were to follow the Lord as their shepherd. And we're told there that they were to serve the Lord as their shepherd. And they were to do it with all their heart and all their soul. Even though the promised land was unknown and uncharted territory, the Israelites, they were commanded to walk in the path of life by being committed to the Lord as their shepherd. And you know, my friend, as we stand on the threshold of a new year, gathering to worship on the first Lord's Day of this new year, if you want to know the presence and promises of the shepherd, if you want the shepherd to be with you and watch over you and remind you of his presence day by day, if you want to walk in the path of life just like the Israelites, then you need to love the Lord as your shepherd. You need to confess the Lord as your shepherd. You might love the Lord as your shepherd tonight, but the Bible reminds you that you need to confess him as your shepherd as well. That's the only way to be saved. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. So you need to love the Lord as your shepherd. You need to confess the Lord as your shepherd. You need to follow the Lord as your shepherd. How do you follow the Lord? You listen to his voice. You read his word. You pray to the shepherd. You gather together in the Lord's house with the Lord's people each Lord's day. That's how you follow the Lord as your shepherd. And then you serve the Lord as your shepherd. You give him your all because he has given his all for you. That's how we walk in the path of life. We love the Lord as our shepherd. We confess the Lord as our shepherd. We follow the Lord as our shepherd. And we serve the Lord as our shepherd. My friend, if you want to walk in the path of life, then you need wholehearted commitment to the Lord as your shepherd. Because there's one thing for sure, and this is what you can be sure of as you go into this coming year, that if you have the Lord as your shepherd, you know that he's committed to you. 100% committed to you. He laid down his life for the sheep. There's no greater demonstration of commitment than that. That's what Paul says. God demonstrates his love towards us in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you want to know how much the shepherd loves you, look at where the shepherd laid down his life for you. And you know, he promises to each and every one of his sheep that when we love him and confess him and follow him and serve him as the Lord our shepherd, when we walk in this path of life, we will be enabled to say like David in Psalm 23, goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me. Despite anything else that comes into my life, goodness and mercy will follow me. And that when my day is done, in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be. Can you say that, my friend? Can you say that for yourself? Because what better comfort is there in life and in death than this, than to know this great shepherd and to follow this great shepherd? And even at the beginning of a new year, that you trust this good shepherd and cast every care into his hands. Because this shepherd promises that when we trust him, he cares for us from the beginning of the year right through to the end of the year. The promise of the Lord for this coming year, my friend, is that the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Well, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we give thanks to thee for these great and precious promises. The reminder, Lord, that the shepherd is with us, and that he promises never to leave us and never to forsake us. And Lord, help us, we pray, to know even the promise of the psalmist, where the psalmist could say that thou wilt me show the path of life, of joys that is full store. Before thy face at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. Help us, Lord, to seek these things that are above, where Christ is seated, and set our affection there, and even to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust hath corrupt, and thieves cannot break in and steal. O Lord, lead us and guide us into this year, that we would trust this shepherd, that we would trust him with our life, and even more so, we would trust him with our death. Go before us, and we pray, take away our iniquity, receive us graciously, for Jesus' sake. Amen.